Sir.
Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. All of us who are here today, we're here for a great breakthrough. Blessing upon your life. Miracle upon your life. I've been coming to Zambia before, and the amen I used to hear will take the roof off the house. I said, blessings for you today in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord will do it in your life. Amen. He'll do it in your family. Amen. Those online, we're here together, and the blessing of God will flow into your life even this very time in Jesus' name. Amen. You are blessed already. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you at this time. We bless your name because you are great and a good, a glorious God. You love every one of us, and you are going to do spectacular things in every life, even today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless us in a very definite, tangible, unforgettable way. Thank you, Lord. We know it's done. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can sit down. Again, we're coming to have a new encounter, a fresh encounter, a mighty, powerful encounter with the God of miracles. And today we're looking at great miracles through the healing virtue of the great physician. Jesus Christ has many titles, and one of the great titles of Christ is that he is the great physician, the great healer, the great deliverer, the great emancipator that sets us free. And today we're looking at one of the miracles, and from that we're going to have how we link up, how we connect with the great miracle you may need in your life. Great miracles through the healing virtue of the great physician. The story we're looking at today is in Mark chapter 5. Reading from verse 25, it says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. In verse 26, had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather she grew worse." In verse 27, it says, "When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment." In verse 28, it says, "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole." Verse 29, "That way the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Look at verse 30. In verse 30, Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, not that word, virtue, had gone out of him, he turned him about in the press, in the crowd, among the multitude, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" In verse 31, it says, "And the disciples said unto him, Thou seest that the multitude thronging, they throng thee, and thou seest who touched me." Verse 32, in verse 32, "And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing." Verse 33 says, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Verse 34, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. That's a story, a common story for readers of the Bible, an uncommon story for those who have not looked at the details of this story. And I need to tell you the detail so that you will have your miracle this day. I will have my miracle today. Say it like Zambians say it. This woman was sick. Not only sick, she had issue of blood. Her sickness did not cause her only physical pain, but emotional, social pain. Because of the issue of blood, she was regarded as defiled, as dirty, unacceptable in society. She tried to take away the problem. She spent money. For all she spent, she was nothing bettered. She grew worse and worse by the day, by the month, by the year, until 12 years elapsed. Then she heard of Jesus. Jesus, the lover of her soul. Jesus, the giver of life. Jesus, the healer of every disease. And she came. Number one, she came without any invitation. She heard, and she said, what I've heard is enough to bring me to the great physician. I don't need any other invitation. She came without invitation. And she decided what she would do without any counseling. Nobody needed to counsel her. And she thought in her mind that this Christ, the great physician, and he can heal me. And she decided without any prompting. You know, some people, you have to prompt them, coach them, explain to them, and you have to show patience with them before they came or before they come to a decision. This woman came without invitation. This woman acted on what she had had without any counselor, and she took a decision. If I may but touch his garment. And she also assigned herself the duty of what I will do. I don't need any help. Yes, I'm sick. I have the hand to touch. He has the virtue to get to me. And she made the connection herself. And this woman came to Christ in spite of the crowd. You see, the people that get miracles from the Lord, they forget about the crowd. They forget about their neighbors. They forget what they had spent. They forget what looks like impossibility in their lives. And then, look at this. She touched without permission. She touched without permission. May I touch your garment? No. Can I come near? No. Heaven has come, and heaven came on earth, and here am I on earth, and I am suffering. The very fact that Christ has come so near to our city, to our town, and the very fact that heaven released the healer, the savior, so that I can be saved and so that you can be saved. What permission do we need to ask for? Is it the will of God? The physician is there. The healer is there. And the sick one is there. That shows you already. Look at providence. Look at prophecy. Look at the promises. And look at the power that is flowing. And so she came and touched without any permission. And then immediately she touched, she made up her mind. There are people that, you know, they take they have an intention. I will. But they never do until something comes to distract them. And what they said they will do, intention does not come into action. But actually, she put her intention into action. That's how miracles come. That's how salvation comes. That's how healing comes. When you put your intention and you put action to that, and she touched. And remember, Peter did not even know she was there. The disciples did not know she was there. And she acted out her faith without any recognition. I'm waiting for them to know that I'm here. I'm waiting for them. I'm waiting for the preacher to mention my name and mention my problem. Then I will know that he is here for me, and I am here for the miracle, without any recognition by any of those apostles. She taught and she received. As you look at all that, people ask to be healed and to be saved. Does it depend on God and God alone? I want to know whether I am predestined for salvation, whether I am predestined for the miracle. Who does it depend upon? Whether I get the salvation or the healing or the deliverance? The woman said, the very fact that Christ is here and is here for everyone, the very fact that all the people throng him and they press on him, and he say, why are you coming near? Why are you coming near? The very fact that he allows everyone, no matter who they are, to get near. I know I too can get near. And then I will do something. I will touch him and I will be healed. Today, it's in your hand. Your own decision. You come and you say, permission or no permission, recognition or no recognition, I touch him today, a miracle will come upon your life. Amen. Healing will come upon your life. Salvation will come to your soul today in Jesus' name. Now you'll discover the important thing in the story is the virtue that came out of Christ, touched her, and that virtue is still the same today. He will touch you. It will transform your life. All the burdens, all the pain of 12 years, 20 years, 40 years, this moment, everything is going away from you. We're looking at 3 points here. Number one, we're looking at the personal touch of faith for his healing virtue. Number two is the present transformation from the fountain of his heavenly virtue. The virtue is like a fountain, and it's so wide, and it's so deep, and it's so broad, anyone can come. And as you touch him, that heavenly virtue will work in your life. And today, you carry miracle back home. I carry miracle back home. Number three, the practical tenacity. The practical tenacity. The woman came and it was not going to be easy. Christ is there in the middle of the crowd. And this woman recognized as unclean and should not even touch anybody. her body should not touch anyone. But she said, even though the challenge is there, the challenge of tradition, the challenge of religion, the challenge of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and if they saw me going through the crowd, I know what they're likely to do. All the same, in spite of everything, she had this practical tenacity in the faith, in the faithfulness for his holistic virtue. That's what holistic means, that she became whole, spirit, soul, and body. Every part of her received the virtue of the Lord. Let's come to number one. Number one, we're looking at the personal touch. If you're going to be saved, personal touch. If you're going to be sanctified, personal touch. If you're going to be healed, personal touch. If the virtue of Christ is going to flow into your life, personal touch. The personal touch of faith for his healing virtue. Three things I'm looking at here. Number one, the delayed time of failure in suffering. Number two is the decisive touch of faith by the seed. And number three is the definite triumph and finality for soundness. Look at number one. Number one is the delayed time of failure in suffering. We're coming back to Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, delayed time of failure in suffering. You know the wonderful thing about the woman? She was having a disease that made her isolated from the public, isolated from even intimacy with the closest person to her, because that was the law in Israel. And the first year went, suffering, isolation, delay, defilement, everything, but she will not give up. You see, the miracle is for the people that will not give up. We've lost, when I say we, I mean humanity has lost thousands of people because they will not be patient. 1 year they're suffering, and they say, what's the point? And they take their lives and they're gone because they will not endure until the solution comes. Thank God you are here today and you have waited until this time that your solution will come. Your solution has come, because they cried a year or two, they cannot wait. Then they are gone. And because they are frustrated, a year or two, they are gone. But this woman, isolated from everything she loved, everything that she desired, everything she wanted, the delay did not discourage her. 2 years went, 3 years went. We don't know the people that joked and jested about her. Religious woman, hopeful woman, you will be healed one day. 2 years have gone. She neglected all that and she was still suffering. As I told you, physical suffering, emotional suffering, segregation, isolation, all the same, she kept on until the 12th year. You know, 10 years, it will come to an end. 12 years, it will come to an end. One day more, one moment more, an hour more, a minute more, and miracle will come. Amen. Give me a good amen. Look at verse 26. Verse 26. And she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Well, thank God, because she waited until the hour of deliverance and the hour of miracle, until that hour came. Before I go away from that point, in your life, if you find something, a condition you don't like, in your life, in your family, if you find a condition that you hate, you detest, and you say, why should this be? I've been like this now for 6 years, 7 years. Don't look back. Don't look at the past. Say, it may be today that Christ will show up for me. It may be today I will hear an information about my Savior, about my deliverer, about my succor, about my supporter, what I had not heard before. And thank God, your day has now come. Amen. Look at number two there. Number two, we're looking at the decisive touch. The decisive touch of faith. Now, look at this woman. She couldn't even touch her husband because the law forbid that. This woman, unclean. And the neighbors, they couldn't even touch her, and she couldn't touch them because they were forbidden by their own law. But if I cannot touch all these people on earth, this one came from heaven. The reason I couldn't touch them, those ones on earth, they are earthly people, and they say my disease is contagious. If I touch them, they are afraid that they will catch my disease. This one, the Son of God, he came from heaven. Contagious disease does not affect him. If I touch him, he will not catch what I have. I will catch what he has. You see, when you understand that even though you couldn't touch the people here on earth, you can touch the one that came from heaven, because your sin, it's not contagious for him. You touch him, you get his righteousness. Your sickness is not contagious for him. You touch him, you get his healing and his soul. And your mental problem, the demons tormenting your life, they can't get on him. They know him. Thou art the Son of God. If you touch him, he will not catch your demonology and your demon possession. You will catch the Holy Ghost that works in his life. Because of that, she made up her mind, and she had a decisive touch of faith. In Mark chapter 5, verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Came from behind. Many people there, a lot of those people there, their names, their situation, their lives are not reaching down. They just said crowd, multitude, many people, but nobody specified, and nobody singled them out to come into the book, into the word. But the one that had a decision, those are the people that get their names in the book of life. The thing that makes you special, The thing that makes you significant is that you come with a decision of faith and you say, I touch him. I get something from him. I get virtue from him. She came from behind and touched his garment. Look at verse 28. In verse 28, for she said, what you say to yourself matters. She couldn't talk to anybody. She couldn't talk to husband. She couldn't talk to sister. She couldn't talk to relative and say, I'm going to get healed. And when you don't have anybody you can confide in, anybody you can discuss with, anybody you can interact with, you think life is gone. Because man is a social animal. Man is created to socialize. If I cannot socialize, if I cannot talk to him, if I cannot talk to her, if I cannot talk to anybody, then life is coming to an end. And he tells us that that kind of life, isolated life that brings stress and depression, will cut short our lives. But she said, I don't know about that kind of psychology or philosophy. I can talk to myself. I can't talk to them. I can talk to myself. I can't preach to them. I can preach to myself. I can't tell them anything for them to do for me. But I can talk for myself, by myself. And she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. You know, sometimes your expectation is so high. If you tell anyone, they ridicule you. What makes you think that 12 years of problem will be rolled away now, when you've tried all these 12 years and they were not gone? But she said, if I may touch, just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. That's the faith, the confession of faith, the touch of faith that made the woman to have her healing. By the way, after she had done that and she got healed, other people heard that a woman who had suffered for 12 years touched the Lord, the great physician, and she was made whole. Many other people too, they now came. If it happened to her, it will happen to us. They came. If she touched him and got healed, we are also going to touch. Look at chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, and I'm reading from verse 56. It says, whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were the border of his garment. When they heard a story, when you hear the story of another person, look at what they did. Look at how the pastor prayed, and look at how she was healed, and look at how he was healed. That story should make you know that Christ is no respecter of persons. What is done for them, he will do for you. And so when they heard that this woman touched the Lord, then they made up their minds, if that happened to her, it will happen to me. It will happen to you. Heaven will smile at you today. It will take all your problem, all your load. He'll take everything away in Jesus' name. And then he says, as many as touched him were made whole. As many as touched him were made whole. There is no difference, and there is no specialization. And maybe she was lucky. No, she was not lucky. This is the principle of heaven, and this is the pattern of heaven. She came and touched, and she was healed. She was made whole. If you too, if you come and you touch him by faith, you will be made whole. Look at number three here. Number three, we're looking at the definite triumph of finality of soundness. Finality. Finality. Today, those problems, final. Those aches, final. And everything you have suffered today, total healing, total deliverance, in Jesus' name. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 29. And straightway, that means immediately, that means all of a sudden, the fountain of her blood was dried up. 12 years of problem came to an end. In your life, those many years of problems, they come to an end today. And look at this. And she felt in her body, first, it dried up. Second, she felt in her body. Now, the miracle happens before you feel it. The miracle comes before you feel it. You're touching by faith. You say to yourself, if I may but touch him, I shall be made whole. And then you touch. That miracle happens immediately before you feel it. And then after it had happened, and you know it has happened, then you feel it in your body that she was healed of that plague. She was healed of that plague. Do you know you are going to be healed today? Do you know you are going to be saved today? Do you know that that desire you have, I don't want to remain among the untouchables. I want to come and I want to have everything the Lord has provided for me. Today is your day in Jesus' name. We're coming to number two here. Point number two, we're looking at the present transformation from the fountain of his heavenly virtue. Heavenly virtue. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm reading from verse 3. Virtue heals her. Virtue also heals you. Also saves you. Also transforms your life. Virtue. Virtue that Christ brought from heaven. Heal her. And the heavenly virtue that we find in Christ still touches your spirit and your soul and your body and everything around you, so that a flesh, a fresh new life will come to you. We're coming to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. It says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things, has given unto us all things, for spirit, for body, for soul, for mind, for profession. He has given to us all things that pertain unto life, all things that pertain unto life, healing, deliverance, progress, success. Has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He gave unto us all things pertaining to salvation, godliness, pertaining to sanctification, godliness, that pertains to success in ministry, godliness, that pertains to all our good desires, that will live the life of heaven on earth. He's giving us even godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. That has called us to glory and virtue. And then in verse 4, he tells us, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. That woman escaped the corruption of the flow and the issue of blood. And now the Lord has told us, by what he has done, by what he has provided with you, we escape the corruption coming from Satan, coming from sin, coming from society by the virtue of the Lord, now we escape. Look at three things here. Number one, we're looking at the transformation of saved souls at the foundation. Number two, this transparency of sanctified saints at the fountain. Number three is the translation through sincere submission to his formation, his renewal, his molding, his recreation. Look at number one. Number one is the transformation of saved souls at the foundation, the transformation. In Romans chapter 12, reading from verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God. Thank God. You see that woman? When she went to other physicians, she had to spend, and she spent all that she had. When she came to Christ, it was only by mercy. No money, no merit, everything came by the mercy of God. We come the same way. Nothing in my hand I bring. If I brought money, the currency of this world is not spent in heaven. And therefore, heaven does not need the money to heal us or to save us. Merit, the merit of this world is not meritorious in heaven. It cannot get anything in heaven. So, as I come by the mercies of God that he presents your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, people that try to serve and their mind is not in the service, and their brain is not in the service, and their strength is not in the service. That's a reasonable service. If you're going to serve the Lord, you bring your body. The body might be sick. Bring the body. You bring your soul, the soul might be traumatized. Bring your soul. You bring your heart may be wavering. Bring the heart. It will rectify everything, but you need to bring at least what you have. Sickness, come. Sinful, come. Tormented, come. As you come, then you offer yourself. It's what you have you'll offer. You'll not offer what I have. You'll not offer what she has. Bring that body. It's acceptable unto the Lord. He is the one that will cleanse your heart. He's the one that will wash you whiter than snow. He's the one that will supply what you do not have by yourself. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. The world, they come by merit and they say, hear who I am. That's the world. See what I've done. That's the world. See what I can achieve. That's the world. And then they have the mind of the world. And they think when it come like that, it will qualify them for something. Be not conformed to this world. And of course, to the worldliness of the world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, be ye transformed. You cannot prove much until you're transformed. Your mind transformed. Your language transformed. Your expectation transformed. And your prayer transformed. And your whole life transformed. And you turn unto the Lord. You cannot prove much of God until there is that transformation. And it says, by the renewing of your mind, that he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Lord is going to prove to you today that he is a mighty God who cannot fail. Amen. Transformation, transformation. The conformity to the world is taken away, and now you come as a repentant, penitent man, or woman, and you say, all my claim to marriage, all my claim to I had that, I renounce that. I come for the mercy of God, and he accepts you, and you are transformed in your expectation, in your language, your lifestyle, and you bring the virtue of heaven that has value on earth. You bring that before him, he will transform your life in Jesus' name. Look at number two here. Number two, we're looking at the transparency of sanctified saints at the fountain. You remember this woman we're talking about? She came without invitation, she touched without permission, and she said to herself, without the confusion of the language of the world, if I may but touch him, I shall be made whole. She was made whole. And Jesus said, somebody touched me. And he said, all people throng thee, and they press on thee. And you say, somebody touched me. He said, yes, I know, because virtue is gone out of me. And when she knew she could not be hid, she came to Christ and told all the truth. When you meet Christ and he touches your life, when you meet Christ and he transforms your life, now you tell him all the truth. You're transparent. There's nothing to hide anymore. They were there, the public was there, but she responded openly all the truth. She had nothing to be ashamed of, because Christ had touched her. When she touched the Lord, the next life, level of life she lived now, was telling all the truth, telling all the truth, telling all the truth. Transparency of a sanctified saint at the fountain. The Lord make all of us transparent in Jesus' name. Because your sins are taken away. All those sins are judged already at the cross. And the sin will never come against your life. Whatever anybody says, whatever anybody says, I know, I know, I know who you are. You don't even know enough. I'll tell you the whole truth. You're now transparent because your life has a record in heaven. He has saved and sanctified you. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm reading from verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're looking at verse 10. It says, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily, your witnesses, and justly and unblameably we have behaved ourselves among you that believe. You now carry the certificate of transparency with you everywhere you go. There's nothing you're doing now that you are hiding from any neighbor. Because it's the people that are not saved, the people that misbehave, the people that do some secret dirty things, those are the people that have things to hide. And Paul the Apostle said, ye are witnesses. You couldn't say this in the past. When he was having the certificate and the paper to go persecute Christians, he couldn't go to everyone and say, see the paper I have. I'm a murderer, I'm a killer, and I'm going to go to those places, and I'm going to Damascus. No, he didn't show all that. But now his life transformed, his life changed, because he met the Lord, and he told the Thessalonians, come, look at my life, look at the way I live. You can follow me anywhere. Ye are witnesses, and God also. And what you don't see, God can see. How holily and justly and unblameably we, not only me alone, myself and Silas and Timothy and Titus and the others, we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. In verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's a transparent life. When you abstain not only from evil, you abstain from appearance of evil. Anything that other people will misinterpret as sin, as evil, as dirt, as defilement, anything that anyone would interpret and say, by my own evaluation, by my own observation, this appears to be evil. He says, now when you come to Christ and you meet with Christ and it brings transparency in your life, abstain from all appearance of evil. In verse 23, it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Your Lord say good amen there. He did it for that nameless woman, a certain woman. He did it for that unknown woman, nameless woman. He did it for that woman that had gone here and there and there, and for 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians, and she was not better in any way. And she came when she heard of Jesus the healer, Jesus the savior, Jesus the sanctifier, Jesus the helper, and did it for her, did it for her. He will do it for you. Amen. Because faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Look at number three here. Number three, we're talking about the translation through sincere submission to his formation. The translation. Look at the woman we're talking about. She lived far away from people. He said, it's not only that if you touch us, your sickness is contagious, it's defiling, the smell coming out because of daily flowing of blood from your body, the stench. We don't even want you to come near. And then she came to Christ, and the fountain of her blood dried up. Now she could go and wash away the old filth, and she could put on a new dress. For 12 years she has not mixed with the people in the market. For 12 years she had not moved with decent, clean people in town. But now she's translated from the place of filth, and now she came to the place of clean people. Translation. And when the hand of the Lord touches you today, he will translate you out of where you were before. You come higher in Jesus' name. You know, meeting Jesus, that's what brings the translation. Translation for me. Translation for me. Higher ground, translation. Better life, translation. A better company, translation for you in Jesus' name. Colossians chapter 1, we're reading from verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Was delivered us from the power of darkness, the kind of power that held people down. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, the power of the tradition among the Jews, held down that woman. And it's like, have you seen a goat that is tied in the neck to a pole. Maybe she moved, he moved that goat, but can only move within the circumference of the radius of that rope. That's what sickness does. That's what that uncleanness, that's what it did. It determined, it limited where she could be. But now, you remove that rope. You remove what ties the goat down. And now she can move there, and move there, and move there. And when the Lord delivers you from the power of darkness, praise the Lord, you are free in Jesus' name. And he has translated us. There are some believers that put all the translation to the faraway future of the time of the rapture. He said he will come. He will come from heaven. The dead will rise, and then we which are alive will be caught up, will be translated, like when Enoch was translated from earth to heaven. Yes. That's in the future, but there's a present translation. Everything that held you down, he'll translate you out of that. All the darkness in your life, he'll translate you away from that. All the sorrow of your life, he'll translate you away from that. And the people that, because you used to be among the isolated, the rejected, they knew you well, and now you meet Christ. I say now you meet Christ. I say now you meet Christ. And it translates you out of those people that never look up. They're always looking down, dejected and rejected and bound and oppressed and defiled and dirty. But now you meet with Christ and you're no more in that group anymore. And then somebody sees you on the street and he says, we didn't see you again in our company of the people always complaining, always dejected, always having, you know, depression. We can't see you again. I met Christ and he translated me out of that company. I want to assure you, where you have been before, you will not be there again. Under the bridge somebody had been sleeping, you'll never go back under that bridge again in Jesus' name. The people, the company of isolated people, and they never do well people, and nobody ever wrote any good thing about them, you are not there anymore in Jesus' name. And the people that had the power of darkness, and they could hold you down, and nothing you could do, and they say you are their perpetual slave under their dungeon, from today you will never be there anymore in Jesus' name, because he has delivered you from the power of darkness and he has translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. Say your amen again. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, it happens to me, it will happen to you. He says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. He says, we are changed. We're transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I pray and I decree this beautiful translation upon your life today in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number three here. Point number three, the practical tenacity in faithfulness for holistic virtue. Practical tenacity. The woman we're talking about, without tenacity, you'll not be reading the story of her deliverance. It's the one that kept coming, and as she was coming, she looked ahead. Look at that crowd. Can anybody pierce through this crowd? Let me keep on moving. And then she got there. And the men, you know, these men that will always, what are we smelling? You have a challenge? If you have a challenge, why are you here? All those people, he went through the tenacity until she came to where Jesus was, tenacity. And then, if I may but touch his garment, and you know those disciples, like bodyguards of Christ, they were all there, and they were all eyes, and they were watching. What are you trying to do? Tenacity. And then she stretched forth her hand, and Jesus was preaching. Wouldn't I distract him? Tenacity. And touched his clothes. Tenacity. If you could see that woman, I've been through this 12 years, and this moment will not pass me by. Tenacity. The practical tenacity in faithfulness for holistic virtue. Look at three things here. Number one is the diligent addition of virtue to our foundational faith. Number two is the daily abounding in virtue with a functional faith. Number three, desirable abundance in virtue with fruitful faith. Look at number one. Number one is the diligent addition. Diligent addition. How do you become strong? Your heart. Every day, your heart. Every day, that's how you become stronger than you were before. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, add knowledge. In verse 6, and to knowledge, add temperance. And to temperance, add patience. And to patience, add godliness. In verse 7, and to godliness, add brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, add charity. In verse 8, for if these things be in you, the original foundational faith is there, and that original foundational faith got her the healing. But then, you understand, somebody who had been bedridden, having issue of blood, lost so much blood, every day in 12 years she'll be weak, she'll be anemic, and even to be moving or running will seem impossible. But she added a meal every day, fruits every day, vegetable every day, vitamins every day, and she built up her physique. And it is like that spiritually. We get saved by faith, foundational faith. And then we add knowledge, we read the Bible. We add a desire to be purer, it's in the Bible. And we add virtue, it's in the Bible. We add grace over grace, it's in the Bible. Like that anemic woman, after getting healed, needed to add and add every day. We begin to add good things to our lives, and they now abound, and they make us not to be barren and not to be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. From today, addition in your life. When I go to the church service, addition. When I sing, it's addition. When I show love, it's addition. When I manifest charity, it's addition. My life is becoming better and better and better. And so will your life be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Number two. We're looking at number two here. Is the daily abounding in virtue with a functional faith. As she came back home, I mean the woman was studying about, neighbors began to hear. And they wanted to know this woman that had been secluded, isolated for 12 years because of the problem. Everybody knew. And this one will come. Woman, how did this happen to you? And she told the story all again. And then the following day, another person came. I have a problem too. How did you say you got out of this? And she told the story again every day. When in our lives, the good things that have happened and the good things that are happening, you find somebody to tell every day. There is a daily abounding in virtue, the virtue of helping other people, increasing the faith of other people, increasing the knowledge of other people, encouraging other people as they come to ask, what happened to you? How did that happen? What's his name that did it? Can I also go to him? Every day, new testimony from your mouth in Jesus' name. And look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. In verse 7, unto godliness, brotherly kindness. When he talked to you, now you were the woman that had the problem of issue of blood 12 years. Don't get angry, don't get offended. You know, some people say, I never like to hear that part of the story of my life anymore. Why is she reminding me I had 12 years of issue of blood? Don't get offended. Are you the woman? Yes. But I am not as I used to be. I'm no longer having the issue of blood, because now I respond with brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, if these things be in you and they abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren spiritually, you will not be barren. Amen. Amen. You will not be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I rejoice with you. From today, you'll bear more fruit. Amen. You'll bear much fruit. The people that come to you and they interact with you, remember, all these 12 years, they will not come like that. They'll not ask you any question. They will not interact with you. But now things are different. The Lord has lifted you up, has raised you up, and has put you on a platform that many people from today, they'll be coming unto you. Your life will be fruitful and your life will be shining for the Lord in Jesus' name. I will not be unfruitful. I will not be barren. Everyone that comes across me, I come across them, I'll share something that will bring faith, foundational faith, and fruitful faith, and functional faith in their lives. We're looking at number three here. Number three, desirable abundance in virtue with fruitful faith. Abundance in your life. Increase in your life. We're looking at John, Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10, verse 10. Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief, that's the devil, visited that woman 12 years earlier, and since the visit of the devil 12 years earlier, she had her health stolen away, and she had her life dying gradually, her self-esteem destroyed, her beauty destroyed. Every good thing she had, she laid claim to, since the thief came. everything was destroyed. But thank God, that was not the end of the story of her life. Look up. The end of the story of your life has not come. A new beginning is starting today. That's what Jesus said. He said, I am come. And who would know that Jesus came for that woman? I am come. Who would know that Jesus came for you? Who would have known that this crusade in particular, an encounter, a divine encounter with the God of miracles, who would have known that this thing was set up because of you? Because of me. Because of me. He came to wipe your tears away. He came to take your sorrow away. He came to bring back everything the enemy has stolen away from your life. Because of me. Because of me. I am come. That they, who are the they, look at them there, that they, look at them here, like they, that they, everyone here, I praise the Lord for you. That they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Scarcity has ended in your life. Living from hand to mouth has ended in your life. Abundance. Abundance of joy. Abundance of peace. Abundance in your health. Abundance in your strength. Bubbling. Abundance. Abundance. Everywhere you go now, abundance will surround you. Where are you? Why don't you stand up? For his abundant life, eternal life, everlasting life, happy life, joyful life. You have heard about Christ, what he did for others, and what he has come to do for you. Just tell the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you. This crusade was put in place because of me. And now, you have done what you promised you'll do. Take my sin away. Take my shame away. Take my sorrow away. Take my suffering away. Take my rejection away. Take my dejection. Take it away. Take my stress away. Take my infirmity away. Take my isolation away. Take away everything that have put me into that corner these 12 years, these 20 years. And Lord, let this sickness come to an end. Let this shame come to an end. Let this infirmity come to an end. Let this cry, suffering, weeping, remembrance of my isolation, take everything away from me. Now, give me new life, renewed life, healthy life, happy life, a free life. A life that rejoices in the abundance of the Lord. Do it, Lord. I am here. Forgiveness I receive. Salvation I receive. Healing I receive. Deliverance I receive. A new joy, a new life, a new abundance I receive. It's done. In Jesus' name we pray. He has blessed you.
Amen.
He has turned your life around.
Amen.
The joy you never had before, you'll have it now.
Amen.
The assurance, the confidence you never had before, you will have now.
Amen.
You have become a son of destiny.
Amen.
You have become a daughter of destiny.
Amen.
Good things will follow you all the days of your life.
Amen.
Keep up that hand. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus,
Amen.
Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your power that comes to bring transformation, that comes to bring translation, that comes to bring transparency, that brings triumph in every life. Lord, I pray for everyone that has listened, that has heard here on the radio, on the television, social media, anywhere, everywhere. Lord, I pray that dramatic, decisive, dynamic change bring it to every life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Every sickness, no matter how long it's been there, take all the sickness in all the people, press them before you, take them away in Jesus' name.
Amen.
New life.
Amen.
New joy.
Amen.
New confidence.
Amen.
New possession.
Amen.
New happiness.
Amen.
New possession.
Amen.
Everyone, where are you? Everyone, where are you? Everyone, give to them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
No more lack in your life. No more sorrow in your life. No more regrets in your life. And the strength of the Lord and the new life in Christ follow you everywhere from today in Jesus' name. And when anybody comes to ask you, you look happier than any time I ever knew you. You look stronger than any time I ever knew you. You look richer than any time I ever knew you. Then you will give them the testimony. I touched him. He touched me. He transformed my life. He translated me. And things are not the same anymore. Lord, confirm it in the experience of everyone. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. It has happened unto you.